Ramsey TV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Springfield, Missouri airport. This is the edge of the bottom. I can prove it to you. Well, this is Martin Zender. I'm coming back from the Springfield, Missouri conference. And let me tell you, it was one of the best. There was one for the books. There was about 52 people there, and it was in a great place. Michael Knotts and his wife, Marcia, did an amazing job. The food there, I thought it was like the loaves and the fishes. I thought we were back in the days of miracles, because the food just kept coming and kept coming and coming. And Dean and Amy Wilkinson, I thank them. And Chris Carnahan, he did a great job shooting the video. So don't worry, my friends, we have the entire thing on video. He's gonna have to send me a thumb drive so that I can get it to you. That will happen soon. Chris tells me that it's beautiful, so I trust him on that. Okay, so I thought I would make this on the way home. Gonna go from here to Dallas, and then from Dallas heading to Fort Lauderdale, get there 8:30 tonight. I wanna continue in Romans. The last place I left off was Romans 11, 18. The reason I have my sunglasses on, I have my Bible propped up over here, and these are prescription sunglasses. Sorry, I shouldn't admit that. Did James Dean have prescription sunglasses, I wonder? I don't know. Tom Cruise, does he wear prescription sunglasses? I should never have admitted that. If you see this, if I haven't cut this out, it means I don't care. All right. Do you remember this? As to the evangel, indeed, they, that is Israel, are enemies because of you. So thank God Israel became enemies, and they crucified their own Messiah, because we have now a gospel all our own. Yet as to choice, they are beloved because of the fathers. That's where I left off, I believe. So Israel is beloved because God called the fathers, and God's choices are unregretted. Oh, speaking of that, listen to the next verse. For unregretted are the graces and the calling of God. Unregretted are the graces and the calling of God. That is, God does not ever regret what he does. For instance, some people in the body of Christ, they wonder why God chose them. And they think that God's going to eventually change his mind, because they're not being very good members of the body of Christ. And God will regret. What did I call Manfred Jones? I thought it was going to work out better with him. I regret that I ever designated him beforehand. No. There's nothing Manfred would ever do anything to get himself out of the body of Christ. He's the most pure and most holy person that I know. But me, on the other hand, I am proof that unregretted are the callings of God. Okay, now listen to this. Even as you, he's talking to the nations, Paul is, even as you were once stubborn toward God, yet you were shown mercy, thus they also will be shown mercy. I'm paraphrasing it because I can't see it too well. I have it propped over there. I have an awkward situation here at the airport. I'm sorry, I have to hold this camera. So the idea is that Paul's reminding the nations, guess what? This is an evangel of grace. So you are being graced by God. You don't deserve this, but you are now members of the body of Christ. So Paul's saying, how about we do this? How about we exercise grace toward these Jews? Why should you be lording it over them as if they don't deserve it, when you didn't deserve it either? So you were shown grace, and after you are snatched away and God takes up with Israel again, guess what? They're going to be shown grace too. And now this sweeping statement, Paul is now at the end of Romans 11. He's going to depart the Israel script. Now he's going to make sweeping statements that apply to everybody. Where do you hear these? You're familiar with these, but now you know the whole prelude. For God locks up all together in stubbornness, that he may show mercy to all. So he started with a microcosmic picture of Israel being made stubborn. He makes Israel stubborn. Remember, he said that earlier here in Romans chapter 11. God himself hardened Israel's heart apart from the remnant. So he made Israel stubborn, and now you, the nations, are blessed, so he's going to undo their stubbornness. Why is that, Paul? Paul, why are you doing it? Because God locks up all together in stubbornness. There it is. There it is. Nations, you have no right to point your finger at Israel and say, you stubborn people, you're not coming in. Paul says, for God locks up all together in stubbornness. And when he says that, he's looking right at the nations. All includes you. But why does he do that? So that he should have mercy on all. So is it a surprise that God is eventually going to have mercy on Israel? Why would it be a surprise? Because God is locked up all in stubbornness, that he should have mercy on all. And then verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom, the judgments of God, how untraceable his ways. Who knew the mind of the Lord? Who became his advisor? Who advised him first, and it will be repaid him, seeing that out of him, through him, and to him is all. To God be glory for the eons. Amen. Since my arms are getting tired right now, I am going to elaborate on this tomorrow. I got to elaborate on the last three verses of Romans. I'm going to start at the tomorrow. I'm going to start at the place where Paul stops talking about Israel and the nations. He talks about the whole world. Okay, I'm going to pick up with that tomorrow. But right now, I have a special surprise for you, and I've been holding out on you, because as I sit here at the Springfield, Missouri airport, I have a man to my left who has been holding my scriptures dutifully all this time, and it is the righteous the Manfred Jump. There he is. You didn't even know he was here.
Hello, body of Christ.
Have a good day. Have a good day. Have a good day. And then over here, I have a young lady. I want her to introduce herself to you. She is a member of the body of Christ. I met her for the first time at this conference. She's a beautiful young believer. Isn't it nice to see young people coming into the faith? Please introduce yourself, young lady, to the body of Christ.
Hi, I'm Kayla.
And how did you end up coming to this conference?
Oh, my mom.
And
listening to
you. Do you know where your mom is right now?
Right in front of me.
Oh my goodness, your mom's right here too. This is an amazing day. This is an amazing day. And your name, young lady?
Natalie Honer.
And I'm assuming that your daughter knows this truth because you taught her. Is that safe to say?
I would say God taught her.
Now, come on now. Honor to whom honor is due. Tribute to whom tribute is due.
Yes.
I have a feeling you gave her a few clues.
Yes, I did give her a few. Just a few. But I tell you what, she's an amazing woman. And she caught on this like this. Just boom, she got it. And I'm so glad she's with me in the body of Christ. And I love you, members of the body of Christ. I am so happy to be here with Martin as my brother.
She's just not saying that. She means it because she also said the same thing off camera. Yeah, she's not just saying it because the camera's on. Now, your mother just said that you caught on to this rather quickly.
I did.
I want to ask you some questions about this. Did your mom raise you in an organized religion?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about that in a second.
We went from church to church, but I never was really into it. I would fall asleep. You know.
Excellent. That's the best thing you can do, ladies and gentlemen. I recommend this highly. Fall asleep at any church. It's the best thing to do. Yeah, next. Thank you.
But, you know, I went to high school. I went to college. I kind of just, like, forgot about it. I did my thing. And then just this past February, I started listening to videos, and it just...
Oh, just this past February.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just believed. I don't know. It just made sense.
I love that. Yeah. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just believe. It's so great that... so many Christians think that belief just comes from some secret, some strange reservoir of belief within you. And it does feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
It felt unforced,
yeah.
Probably, didn't it? It felt natural, but it was God operating in you, belief, because we know God gives to each a measure of faith. Manfred, this is the first conference you ever went to. Am I right?
This is the first one.
Tell me, give me your impressions of the conference.
A lot of folks, a lot of good believers. It was a good conversation. The speakers were all excellent, and Michael Knotts really pulled it off. It was nice, very nice.
He did. It was so funny hearing him talk about it, because it started small. There was just going to be two or three people meeting at his house.
Yep.
And then word got out. I don't know how that happened. And then next thing you know, there's 53 people coming. Marcia, his wife, said that every time the phone would go off, she'd be like, here comes another one. Remember that?
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Here comes another one.
Beautiful.
Oh, okay,
beautiful.
My arms are about to fall off, folks. I'm sorry if this video is a little shaky, but I'm getting home late and I'm tired. I think I gave 7 messages at this gathering. We heard from Wes Follenkamp. We also heard from Dean Wilkinson. And we talked to some of the Saints. We had a question and answer session. You're going to love it. So I'm going to bring that to you as soon as I get the files. But for now, I'm tired. And I think I deserve to be tired. There's a good reason I'm tired. So for now, I'm going to sign off from the edge of the bottom of the Springfield Airport. But I just want you to know that that we enjoyed talking to you this week. And we knew as we were making these videos that it was going to go out to the world. It was going to go out to other members of the body of Christ. We are one family with you. Even though we're not all physically together, we are united in spirit. Hey.